What is up? I am Shane.
And I am Devin.
And this is the Small Town Boys Podcast. So for our guest today, we have Jason Dyer.
Hello. Thank you all for having me today.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about y'all?
I'm doing good, Devin.
Oh, absolutely. I'm doing great.
So, good. Jason, tell us a bit about yourself.
I'm a junior at Kenton High School. I do soccer, track, and quiz bowl band, all that fun stuff.
Now, for soccer and track, what do you do?
Soccer, I basically play a little bit of everywhere. Coaches put me on the field, I just play it, I guess.
Right, understandable.
Track, I do the 110 hurdles, 300 hurdles, 4x4 relay.
And then, if I'm correct on this, band, you do play trumpet?
Yes, I do.
Do you know how to play any other instruments?
No, I'm not that talented. I can't play any other instruments.
I got you.
Oh, yeah? That's a
That is fair.
So, Jason, you obviously playing soccer, us together for a very, very long time. How long have you played soccer in total?
I'd have to say pretty much my whole life, really, since my dad was a soccer player, soccer coach his whole life. Pretty much as soon as I was out of the womb, he was having me and my brother play it. I'm the only one who stuck with it, though. Jarrett went to football.
Right. See, I mean, you've pretty much your life, you've grown up with soccer being, you know, always there. No matter what, you always had soccer.
Right, yeah. And it's like kind of like an addiction now because pretty much spend all my time just watching soccer, playing soccer. It's probably not a healthy obsession, yeah.
Right, absolutely. And I mean, even with how much we do together as a team, we're
right,
together.
Exactly, yeah.
No matter what time of year it is, we're always together doing something, whether it's soccer related or not.
Right.
We've kind of pretty much just made a family and we just do everything together.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I love soccer because, like, it's basically an ever-changing, ever-growing family because every year you got those new people that come in, those freshmen.
Right.
Plus you have those graduating seniors, but you're still close with them because you spent the whole year with them, if not longer. So, right. I mean, you're there with them, like, basically a whole big family reunion of new people you haven't seen in a while, pretty much.
Going on with, that big family, like you said, haven't seen them in a while and stuff like that. Every year, right before our season starts, we have our alumni game.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which, basically, if you guys don't know what that is, it's our current high school players will go up against our graduated soccer players and stuff like that, and they will come over and we'll play against each other, and it's always just, a fun game. Doesn't really, it doesn't count for anything, but
I mean, besides bragging rights,
right,
really.
Bragging rights.
I mean, my dad is on the alumni team, so whenever I, get around him and stuff, I always bring it up to him when I get home. Yeah, it's
right,
fun.
Right, I'm pretty sure he never can get past that. I guarantee you that whole night, I'd say, Dad, when are you going to win a soccer game? and say, hey, just so you know, you've never beat me.
I mean, they did our freshman year.
It doesn't count.
How?
You don't count it.
It was because Landon had the flip penalty and Sam,
I remember
Sam was
that.
A brick wall.
I think
goal,
that
yeah.
was the coolest PK I have ever seen
yeah,
in my
I've,
life.
I've seen videos of people actually doing that professionally, but I've never seen someone do it in person until that night. It was actually really amazing.
Right. I mean, Landon Bartlett, I don't know one thing he can't do when it comes to soccer. He's
That's true, yeah.
insane. Shane?
What's up?
What about your soccer days?
You see, back in before I really grew up. I played a little bit of soccer up until third grade.
Yeah.
I wasn't any good at it. I played defender.
Okay.
I wasn't the best. The best season, though, was my second grade season. We went undefeated that season, actually. We didn't lose a game. We went to a tournament, won, and it was, dubs all around.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if we really wanted to, we could take you back senior year, buddy. Come on. You know you want to come back.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know.
Okay.
I say we should switch to a topic then a little bit more about us three all do track together.
Right, yes.
And how are you guys excited for the season?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, besides the minor injury here and there, because right now I'm sidelined just for a knee injury that's getting better every day. So, I mean, getting to feel the wrath of the coaches every day for not being healthy right away, it's something. But other than that, yeah, I think we have some good things to do this year. Honestly.
Right, and so what are your thoughts on, obviously it can't be beat from the legendary Coach Downing, but what do you think about Coach Austin as of now?
I mean, I think he's doing pretty well for, he had those huge shoes from Coach Downing to fill. And right. I think he's doing the best he can. He's doing pretty well, actually. Well,
absolutely. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but a lot of the workouts that we've been doing are
from Coach Downing, yeah.
Very, very similar to what Coach Downing would make us do.
Yeah, I know the day Coach Austin made us run 3 miles, he literally told me that Coach Downing was the reason he did that, because Coach Downing told him to, yeah.
Right, so, now, it was the sprinters doing the 3 miles. I looked at him and I said, Coach, what are we doing? And yeah. He goes, Coach Downing said it will be very beneficial, and I'm not going to disagree. It's beneficial.
Right.
Three miles, though, I don't think I've ever ran that.
Since summer consistent. Soccer stuff, yeah.
Exactly. I've never ran that just 3 miles straight for a while.
And it wasn't even 3 miles. We were, like, somewhat sprinting the curves as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was still a distance 3 miles, but it wasn't just a consistent jog the whole time. It was jog, curve, sprint, jog, sprint, all that fun stuff. Made it go by a lot quicker, actually.
I agree. So, meat-wise, enough about practice. Meat-wise, guys.
Yeah.
What are we looking at, Jason, for you? What are you hoping to get?
Honestly, right now I'm looking at, for this year, hoping to break the school record.
Oh.
Because I was decently close last year with it, even with it being my first ever year hurdling.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that now that I have that year of experience under my belt, maybe I can actually do a little bit more technical work and actually get better at it. And hopefully I don't hear you clunking behind me.
Now, time-wise, how far are you off, or do you not know that?
I think I can answer that for him. If you tell me, what are your PRs?
Dude, I don't remember those.
I think, I looked at the sheet, I'm pretty sure PR for 300 is around 34 point something, and record's like 30.1 for 300 hurdles.
No, it's like 40.1, not 30.
Oh, my bad. Yeah.
Because if you're doing a 30-second 400, dude.
Yeah.
Or 300, my bad. But yeah, still.
Never mind. Yeah, you're right, 40. Yeah. And then 110s.
Miss Baum told me today it was a 15.1 for the 110 record.
That's going to be tough to get.
Which she's trying to get me to break that this year. I'm like, ooh, that's really tough.
You realize that's not even winning WBLs? That won't even win WBLs, a 15.1.
That's scary. Yeah, that's the scary thing about it, yeah.
See, for me, I want to get close to breaking the school record, but I think that's for me next year, is getting that school record and beating you. But for me this year, it's not more.
We got some beef?
Technical and form work for me, it's speed work. As you know, last year I was not in the greatest of shape that season.
Right.
Obviously, getting quarantined right before track started didn't help.
And you quarantined me too.
But me, it's just speed work and getting faster over the hurdles and stuff like that.
Quarantine, was I the only one that didn't get quarantined during track season?
Yes.
I think so, because Shane got COVID, and since I sat at his lunch table, I got taken out as well.
Right, that's back when they were, like, strict about it. Like,
yeah,
okay,
they were like, if you're sitting at the lunch table, you get pulled, yeah.
Right, or if you're sitting within, like, 10 feet of each other in class, you're like, nope, you're going too.
Mm-hmm.
I never got tested, so I never got it.
I mean, I didn't really get tested either, except for
I don't think you were ever sick, though, either.
I was ever sick during that time.
I mean, if you were sick, you hit it pretty well, even.
I mean, I had, obviously, it becoming spring and stuff like that, had, like, sniffles and allergies and stuff like that, normal.
Yeah, just basic annual stuff, yeah.
An actual, like, COVID sickness I never got.
Mm-hmm.
So, back to the track topic. Devin, what are you looking at for pole vault?
Actually, I was talking to our pole vault coach today, and within the first three meets, we're looking at potentially 12, 6, 13.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of the year, the school record should be broke. Theoretically, it should. Our school record is 13.9. It was set, I believe his name is Scott Horde, set 91. Coach Austin was talking to me the other day, and he goes, just so you know, that record's long overdue. And I was like, yeah, I agree. It's going to get broken this year, and I promise you that.
Very confident.
Oh, I'm very, very confident in it. Just from last year up until this summer, and I have a funny story with that one. So, it was during the summer. I am thinking it was early July, maybe mid-July. I was up vaulting at Harder Northern with one of my friends and Harder Northern's coach. And he goes, hey, Devin, just so you know, I'm going to break your fear of climbing up poles. I always had a fear. I was stuck on a 12-foot pole. I did not want to leave it. It was just my baby. I wouldn't want to touch any other pole. I attempted one other pole, and that was a 13.7 130.
Mm-hmm.
That pole scared me half to death. I climbed up all the way on it, and I stalled out right up at the top. And the pole started bending, and the number one rule for pole vaulters is, it's always, do not let go of the pole. So I did, you know, what a normal vaulter would do, not let go of the pole.
Yeah.
I bent one way thinking, okay, I'm fine. And then it shoots me over to the other side, and I land right in a mud puddle. I remember that. It was freezing cold that day, too. And I was in a hoodie and sweatpants and stuff like that. So, obviously, things that, you know, get weight onto it
right,
once
yeah.
it gets wet, stuff like that. So, me, my clothes are heavy, wet. I'm in the cold. So, I'm like, you know, I'm going to get frostbite. That's it. I'm going to die today. And so, ever since then, I was like, I am never going to get on a bigger pole. And then the summer happened. And Bob looks at me. That's Hogan Northern's pole vault coach. He goes, Devin, I'm going to break your fear. And I said, Bob, that's impossible. I'm not going to break my fear. And he goes, no. Watch this. I'll push you. Homeboy grabs, I think, the biggest pole that they have. It's a 15-foot 160. It's like, Bob, I'm going to die. He goes, no. I'll push you. It'll be okay. So, you know, I get up on the pole. He goes, just take a few steps back and run up like you normally would. So I take my few steps back, run up like I normally would. He goes, yeah, you got this. Pick up, keep your speed, and then press. So I go to press, and the pole does not move. It does not move at one bit. I get jammed. All right, so the pole stops. I do not stop, however. Oh, I shoot myself straight up in the air. Good. 10, 11 feet. I don't know how I didn't break my ankle. After the pole jams, I go up in the air. I land back down. Wes and Bob are both laughing. Now it's like, it's not funny. And he goes, you're not scared anymore. Now are you? I said, no, I ain't scared, but I thought I was going to die. And then after that, I tried again because I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to master this pole because I wasn't scared of anything, you know, getting up on different poles and stuff like that. No. And it wasn't even like climbing up to bigger poles. I just wouldn't touch anything but that pole.
Yeah.
You remember that during season? I wouldn't touch anything but that red 135. That's all I touched. And then I started jumping up and, you know, mixing up my poles and stuff like that. Now I'm fine. So I reached my peak during summer, and I wish I would have just got over it during the season. I think I probably would have made it. I would have made it past districts. I don't know how far I could have gone, but yeah. I wish I would have gotten over that a lot sooner.
Well, I was talking to Coach as well, and I'm not expected to get quite as high as you. She said probably 9.6, 10 come first few meets.
Right.
And then by end of season, hopefully around 11, possibly 11.6 for me.
Okay. I mean, that sounds definitely, yeah, doable.
Yeah, but, well, do you remember your PR from last year?
Meet-wise, it was 9 because hit a spot in the meets where I just couldn't get anything over 9.
Right, that's true.
But come summer, I was clearing 10, I think. Maybe 10.6 in the summer.
Yeah,
10, so, yeah, 6, see, yeah. So you'll be fine, yeah.
Hopefully it'll go well. I'm excited for the season, honestly. I feel like I'm in a lot better shape already than I was last season.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, especially not having that, like, 2 week off of quarantine as well.
Yeah.
That's a big factor in it. What about the 4x4, Shane? How are you looking for that?
Right now I'm planning on doing it again. Obviously, I've got to get in more shape because Ethan is obviously in better shape than
me. Oh, yeah, he's definitely gotten a lot better shape this year.
So hopefully I can...
stronger, faster, and so that'll be a fun challenge.
Keep my spot in that.
Yeah.
Funny, a lie to me. So before I was in the 4x4, before I joined the 4x4, I was an alternate, basically backup person for the relay.
I remember that meet. You're talking about Elida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, I remember
that
meet.
So I wasn't scheduled to run anything else. So I'm done running, and I get two slices of pizza and a Gatorade. And mind you, these pieces of pizza, Devin can say this as well, they're not small. These are pretty big pieces of pizza. And so I eat these, I drink my Gatorade. I'm like, okay, I'm full, ready to go home. About 3 or 4 minutes later, Colby comes over. Shane, you're in the 4x4. Isaac can't run. Mind you, 400 is a lap around the track, obviously. Right. And so I'm here sitting with a full stomach, having this full sprint of 400. And I think that's the closest I was to throwing up that entire season. I felt sick the entire way home. Just, it was terrible.
Mm-hmm. I remember that meet so much.
Yeah, that was, I just remember seeing Isaac like holding his shoulder and like grimacing in so much pain. He was like, Jason, you need to tell coach I can't run this. And I was like, okay, I'll do what I can. Went up there and told coach, and I just hear Coach Downing screaming for you, Shane, Shane, you're in. And I was like, in my mind, and then you ran up to me and told me about how much you ate and stuff. I'm like, oh, dear God, here we go.
I mean, I ran about, it was not my fastest that season. I think I ran about a minute 400, which isn't
that's not good, terrible. But like, yeah,
for running with a full stomach.
Yeah, I mean, you did pretty well for like trying not to throw up as well.
Yeah. I was, and obviously I joined the relay after that. It's like, right, you know what, I might as well just commit to the 4x4.
Exactly.
I could never.
Well, what do you think, what was your like split time last year?
I think like a 57.
What do you think you try and get it down to this year?
A 55, 54 maybe.
Okay. I can tell from experience, 55 suck. They're terrible. Remember WBLS? You guys had to literally carry me off that track, dude.
Your legs were dead.
Yeah, my legs turned to jello, and I think, you know, I'm going to try and go for like a 54, 53, so I'm probably going to need like stretched off that thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's crazy, people are going to call me crazy by saying this, and I'm not sure if you two are going to agree, but I'm going to miss, for whatever reason, just hearing Coach Downing get upset with us for whatever reason. During either practice or during a meet, always telling us how his dead turtle is faster than us.
He talks about great-grandma Downing running fast when she's dead.
Downing and how she's faster than us everything like that.
It motivates you.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to do better.
Yeah.
He's a great motivator. Yeah. And I think Coach Austin is going to get there as well. Obviously, he's new to the coaching aspect.
Right. I think he just needs a little bit more time to get warmed up more than people, and then he can start like picking on him a little bit like Downing did. And then everything will be basically back to business pretty much. I said just give him a little bit of time. On. Oh, yeah, so am I. Yeah.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Track might be my favorite sports season ever. Just talking to a bunch of people.
You get to meet everyone from everywhere.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's also true.
You get to talk
more
people. Like football season, you only talk to your teammates. And
right.
Drag, you talk to so many people.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically how it is for soccer, too. You're basically talking just your team. And then you occasionally you get the little conversation of the opponent next to you saying, ooh, it's hot out here, isn't it? Or something stupid like
it's
that.
It's either that or our trash talk.
Yeah, or they're saying, oh, I'm tired. You're lucky you're fresh out here. Then you just like laugh a little bit. But once you're at track, you have so much time. And there's so many people there. So you get to just walk around, explore, talk to people. It's amazing.
Right. And I feel like people, and I don't know how it is with other events and stuff like that, but pole vault, I do know from that being my obviously main thing, everyone just has like some sort of like bond with each other, you know?
Yeah.
We're a bunch of crazy people who ride on either carbon fiber or fiberglass poles and just launch yourself up in the air. I don't know anyone else in the world that's like willing to be like, oh yeah, I ride up in the air with like I said, those poles and stuff like that and just launch yourselves up. We're a bunch of weirdos to what we are. We really are.
Devin some talking to get me to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Shane, we know from experience, like, kind of hurdlers are kind of the same way almost.
Yeah.
Because when we're over there, we just pretty much joke about with everyone, like, do we have to run this? Like, and then you, like, joke around with people. I know the one time some random guy from a school, I didn't even know where it was, walked up to me. He's like, there are two races in track that you never want to run, the 300-meter hurdles and the 800-meter dash. I looked him dead in the eye and said, buddy, I run both of those. That's like the good thing though, because you get to like connect with people about just the love of running.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Yeah.
That is one thing too. I'm like, people question us and everything like that. Like, why do you guys run?
Exactly.
Like,
everyone.
Why do you guys enjoy track? And I was like, I can't give you a real,
neither can I. Real like, reason. I don't know why I like it. I just do.
Right.
It's like, you guys have to like running. No, I hate it.
Exactly.
But then I just continue to do it. And I'm not entirely sure why. I think it is really just for the love of the sport. Like soccer, you know, us working all winter long, all summer, spring. We don't have really, I mean, we have our off season, but we don't really have an off season.
Right. Yeah. You know, exactly. We're going
all year round. And I don't get tired of it.
No, yeah, that's the best part about like these high school sports and stuff. Because once you're finished with your one season, then you're like left with that little void that you're just craving right. for more. Yeah. And you're like, okay, give me that next season.
And
I want
to
go again.
You have that motivation to go into the next season.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you want to just do better than you did last season.
And that's where with soccer, I'm coming in this year with a whole lot more emotion than what I had the previous years, just because. Jason, you know, you and I going into our senior year of soccer.
Right, exactly.
After this year,
we're done.
It's it with Kenton soccer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, besides the one last, like, alumni game afterwards, but.
Right.
That's doesn't really. It's not going to be the same.
Right. And, you know, it doesn't mean. It's more meaningless games after that. Just that feeling that you get after that first regular season win, or that first shutout, or that first goal, or.
Right.
You know, as me as a goalkeeper, that first save of the season, it gives you really that boost of energy.
Right, and you just want to just keep riding that wave as long as it goes. I mean, and then you're just, as soon as it's done, you're like, shoot, there's none left.
Right, and then you, obviously, if you're not state champions, you've got to be unhappy with the result that you had. So, me, I'm coming in with, like I said, a whole bunch of emotions and everything like that. Like, this is our last go around. We need to make this right.
Right. Exactly. Well, I mean, the same goes for you too, Shane, but
yeah,
football.
Football. You know, let's say analogies you guys made. My first tackle, my first catch, all this stuff that happens, like, just makes me think, I want to do more. I want to go bigger. I want to go stronger. I want to be better at the game. And so it's emotional. It's very emotional.
Right.
But
yeah.
Hopefully. Obviously, you know, our football wasn't that good last season, but I'm hoping, we think we should win some more games this year.
Do you think with these upcoming freshmen for next year are going to help you guys actually
I think
win some games?
In the future, they will. I think right now we're a young team still. Mm. We're in that rebuild phase right now.
Right.
Obviously, but we've got a lot of talent coming up, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So, sports is a big part of us.
Exactly. I agree.
Right, yes.
And hopefully, where do you want to go to college? Do you want to play sports in college?
Yeah, definitely. If I get the chance to play sports in college, I'd love to.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm probably going to focus on education first. But if I get that chance to play soccer or track, you know I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm in a pickle, because I have opportunities for both to go for soccer and track. I'm being talked to from different colleges and stuff like that. I'm stuck because I don't know what to do. I love both each sports. But once you get into college, you know, you've really got to focus on one thing and stick with it. And that's where I'm not sure what I'm going to do or where I want to go. I have a few colleges in mind. I don't have it set.
Right. What about you, Shane?
Well, for me, I'm in the pickle like Devin, but not the same pickle. I don't know whether I want to go to a big college and go for education or go to a smaller college, and I want to run track in college, obviously. So right. I'm still deciding whether I want to go for education or go to a small college, get a decent major, and do sports is what I'm still trying to decide to do. And I've got a bit of time still, but just what do I want to do? Do I want to go for sports and have more sports memories and fun, or focus on education? And that's where I'm stuck.
Right.
Jason, do you say in college, stuff like that, what are you wanting to do in college? I mean, sports, but like, what do you want to major?
Oh, I've always been fascinated by recently I've been fascinated with like genetics and stuff. So I'm going to be majoring in genetics and like gene therapy and like doing like medical stuff with the cells in our bodies and like our DNA strands and all that fun stuff.
All right. Shane, what about you?
I'm still trying to decide what major I want to as well. I've got a few options in mind, but nothing's set in stone yet.
Well, what are those options you got? What do you think about?
I've thought about if I want to come back and teach and coach here at Kenton, I've thought about that. A few other things that are, like, random. I thought about business. Thought about going to the business aspect. A few others, but nothing, like, set in stone yet, really. Devin?
I am set, actually, what I want, what I'm going to do. I've been set on this since 8th grade, maybe. So, I'm going to go to college and major in education for social studies. And I'm wanting to, if I get the opportunity, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come back to Kenton. Like, this is where I want to teach. This is where I want to stay. I want to stay in Kenton. There's just something about this town that you can't get enough of it, not being from Kenton. And then moving here when I was in first grade, it just, there's something about it that's different from other places. So I want to come back here and teach, and then I wanting to coach soccer and then be like an actual like designated goalkeeper's coach. I think that'd be kind of cool to, we don't have one of those. And to my knowledge, we've never had one of those. So I think that'd be kind of cool to come back and coach that or help out our pole vault coach Terrell or Coach Austin or something like that with track, whether that be at the middle school or the high school level. I think that'd be kind of cool to come back and help.
Mm-hmm. So decisions, boys.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I think we should end it there. Wrap it up for the episode. Yeah. I had fun, Jason. How about you?
It was a good time, yeah. Thanks for having me, boys.
So, tune in next time for the next great episode of Small Town Boys Podcast.